This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Thanks for listening. I'm William O'Flaherty, author of the newly released The Misquotable C.S. Lewis. My guest today is Dr. Joseph Rickey. He's a professor at Taylor University, and he's also director of the Center for the Study of C.S. Lewis and Friends. The reason he is here today is to tell us about the 2018 colloquium that starts May 31st. Even if you're listening to this after the event, keep listening to find out what they are like so you can consider joining in for the next one in 2 years. Welcome back to All About Jack, Joe.
Thanks, William. It's good to be here.
Well, now let's start by having you provide a short overview of the 2018 colloquium.
Well, as you know, this is the 11th biennial colloquium here at Taylor University, which has taken on the names Lewis and Friends right from the start, which was in 1997. And we used to have them in the fall. That's why the odd numbered years versus the even numbered years now. But every year now, for several years, in late May, we have the colloquium. It goes for part of 4 days, starts on Thursday and goes till Sunday morning or Sunday noon. And this year is starting May 31st. So May 31st to June 3rd, which happens to be my birthday. So we will certainly be celebrating that. And we bring in some of the top scholars from around the world that study not only C.S. Lewis, but some of the other authors that were related to him, like George MacDonald and Dorothy L. Sayers and Charles Williams and many others, Tolkien, obviously. And we have this colloquium, which is a sort of a nice name for it because it's not just a conference. It's a colloquy. It's a dialogue. It's people coming together and talking together. You know, you've been here. We don't just feature a few big experts who come in while the rest of us sit back and take it all in and listen and eat our refreshments. Most of the people who attend the colloquium participate. They give a paper, they read a poem, they bring their artwork. It's very participatory. And really looking forward to it this year. It's at Taylor University, which is in Upland, Indiana, which is, I guess we'd say, East Central Indiana, about 50 miles south of Fort Wayne and about 60 miles north of Indianapolis, and easily accessible by the Indianapolis Airport or the Fort Wayne Airport, if that's more, that's easier for the participant. Later on, you're going to ask me, I'm sure, about how to find out information for the colloquium. And I will say, before I go down the list, that there's a really nice page with information about all the keynotes on the site where we have information about the colloquium. So if people forget something I say right now, just, you know, make sure to check that out. Our keynotes include Stephen Prickett, who is coming from England, and he is the president of the International George MacDonald Society, and he's a great scholar of Romantic and Victorian English literature. And another thing about Stephen, he was one of the last graduate students that worked with C.S. Lewis at Cambridge. People don't know that. Lewis went to Cambridge, left Oxford, and went to Cambridge late in his career, and Stephen was actually his student. Another one of our keynotes will be Crystal Downing. Crystal is the newly named co-director of the Marion Wade Center at Wheaton and a very fine Dorothy L. Sayers scholar, and we're really, really happy to have her. Her husband David was a keynote here once upon a time. And now Crystal will be one of them. Another one of our keynotes is Ron Reed. Ron Reed is an actor and a director and the artistic director of a theater company in Vancouver. And Ron has been with us before. He's played the role of C.S. Lewis on stage from Shadowlands and from Freud's Last Session. And he also has written a new play on Tolkien, and he's going to be bringing that play with him. He's going to talk about the genesis and the work that he did on that, and we're going to do a reading. So we're really excited about that. Another one of our keynotes, and you'll see right away that I've got too many keynotes. We're really going to have a good time. D.S. Martin. Don Martin goes by D.S. Martin. He's a poet headquartered at McMaster University in Ontario, Canada. And he's written an entire book of poems that are sort of poems in response to the work of C.S. Lewis, as well as many other fine books of poems. So he's going to be here giving us a poetry reading and talking about his work. Crystal Hurd is our good friend and has been here many times for the colloquium. and has written about C.S. Lewis and his family and women in C.S. Lewis. And she's going to be talking especially about the Lewis family imagination and how that to some degree formed the imagination of C.S. Lewis. Really looking forward to that. And our good friend, Charlie Starr, who I know is your good friend as well, mm-hmm. who has been really a constant, really coming to the colloquium here and presenting his work. And his brand new book just coming out on C.S. Lewis and mythology. And it should be coming out just about in time for the colloquium. So we're really excited about that. So we have Charlie and Crystal and Don Martin, Ron Reed, Crystal Downing, Steve Brickett. And I left off Joe Christopher, who is a sort of legendary Lewis scholar. I remember reading Joe's work when I was an undergraduate. And Joe will be here and be joining us as well. So it's just an exciting list. And of course, my problem, and that's my job, is fitting them all in. But we're going to do it.
Ah, sounds great. Yeah, and of course, many people will remember the names of Crystal Hurd and Charlie Starr, who've been on my show many times. The others I've heard at various times, most of them, not all of them. I do look forward to getting a chance to hear them. Now, as you mentioned already, one of the nice things is that people have the option, if they meet the deadline, which by the time most of the people are listening to this, it's probably passed, but that there are the opportunity for people to give some short papers. I think in 2016, nearly 70 presentations were given.
Right.
Now, again, it's most likely too late for people to be involved in that process. But go ahead, for those who might do that in the future, what is that like? For those who've never heard of, like, what do you can do your own presentation in a thing like this? How does that go about?
Well, I mean, so this really is a scholarly conference that, of course, that would be the normal thing to do at a scholarly conference, a gathering of scholars on a topic. But we're also very much a kind of friendly and community conference. So there are people who don't do this normally, but they're comfortable doing it here. And then there are other people who are, you know, they're writing books on C.S. Lewis and giving papers all the time. So it's a really neat combination. Truthfully, our deadline is March 31st. I don't know when this will air, but I already have about as many proposals accepted as we had presented at the colloquium. We're just about at the same number as we had presented at the colloquium in 2016. So it's we've got some very, very interesting stuff being sent my way by some very smart people, very good people. And so what happens normally then, let's say from 9 to 10:30 time slot, we're going to have a paper session. And what that means is three and sometimes four people will be in that classroom and be presenting their papers, usually grouped around a topic, maybe a theme, or maybe one of the authors. Maybe these will all be on C.S. Lewis. Across the hall, there'll be three or four papers on Dorothy L. Sayers or Charles Williams. And they'll give the papers, and then there's a discussion time. And in 2016, there were some just dynamite sessions, and people felt like they learned a lot. And so that's kind of the way that works. And at any one time slot, then when you have maybe three to four people in a room presenting, there are probably three of those sessions like that going on at the same time. So it's impossible for everyone to come to a conference like this and hear everything. I go to some big conferences where there's 40 or 50 sessions going on at the same time. So ours is not anything like that, but still we will have three. And if we need to, we might have four, but I'm hoping we won't, going on in the same time slot.
All right. Well, now you've touched on the schedule. I don't know if you want to say anything more about that, but let me pitch that as well as, you noted this, it's geared toward being a academic conference, but some people may ask, well, I'm not really into the academic type stuff. So is this just for stuffy academic type people?
First of all, I resent that remark, but as an academic.
Resemble or resent?
I resemble too. Because I don't consider myself very stuffy, and I hope my students would say the same. But and that's right from the very start. There have been people, we have people who are pastors or who are just love these writers. And this has always been a conference where they felt their voice was heard, their voice mattered. They come and, of course, listen, but also they do papers. And David Neuhauser, our founder, was really sort of famous for this, for bringing people along and nurturing that, you know, their ideas and getting them to present them. And then oftentimes then those works that they write have been published in the proceedings of our conference. So it's another thing we do. And I've been to enough conferences where this isn't the case. We sort of talk to our big name speaker, keynote speakers, whatever, before they come and say, you know, we do expect you're going to hang around and get to know people and talk to people. And that's part of our conference. It's part of the ethos. And so we hope that you're good with that. And I think they enjoy that. You remember last time just seeing Colin Durias or Diana Glyer, they were just all over the place, talking with participants and teaching, not just when they were talking, but also learning from other people. So no, it's very friendly and very community oriented kind of conference. I just want to emphasize that, you know, there are some really good academic work that goes on. It's quality stuff.
Yes, I've only started going back in 2012 when I had the previous director interviewed. In fact, it was that time that I really just learned about it that year. And to be honest, I wasn't familiar at all with academic conferences. That's not my background. And yeah. it just so happens that there was an opening to do a paper. And so I was kind of encouraged to consider that. And I first stumbled onto a topic that I thought was good. And then I realized it wasn't quite what I was thinking about what Lewis may have said wasn't quite exactly. And so I had to rethink, and I did come up with another one. But the next year that it was held in 2014, I did my first stuff regarding Lewis misquotes, and now
I know you did.
I was just having a book out about that. So yeah, so some people kind of stumble in, and then they maybe go on and do other things.
In 2014, I met you and Brenton and Serena, and just so many. And I wasn't the director; I was just a participant like you. But I remember that year, and I remember a lot of really, really great people.
Very
you want cool. me to talk more about the schedule? I'd be happy to.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. For those who have not really heard you, you've touched on some elements. For those who are familiar, they kind of like can fill in the blanks. But for those who are really not familiar at all, go ahead and give us an overview.
Obviously, all the specifics aren't filled in. But again, at the WordPress site where we have all our conference colloquium information, there is a sample schedule page. It's sort of, well, we start about this time and we end about this time, but we begin Thursday afternoon. And so Thursday late morning on into the early afternoon, we have registration, and we assume most people will be registered already, but check in. And then in the early afternoon, and I'm not sure whether that's going to be two or three, we start with a welcome, and then we start writing with some papers. And later on we have some special presentations, by some of our keynotes and some workshops and panels. We have dinner. And in the evening, we have another keynote or artistic presentations. And we tend to end with some interesting stuff. Last time we had a lot of, in the evenings, we have fellowship games, open mic sessions where people do readings. That's a lot of the fun. And then a typical day, Friday or Saturday, we get up, we have a centering session, we call it. It's sort of like a devotional session. And then we start back into papers. And sometime in the afternoon, we'll have another major presentation, like a keynote or maybe some panel. And then in the evening, we have Friday evening will be Stephen Prickett giving his talk on George MacDonald and the Inklings. And then late Friday, again, we'll have some sort of creative thing or fellowship. And then Saturday, same kind of schedule, except in the afternoon, we have a panel discussion with all our keynotes. On this year, the topic will be the faithful imagination, which is our conference theme. And then that evening, we have a big banquet, and that includes, so the final keynote is folded into that banquet. And this year, we're going to have that should be really good. Crystal Downing will be speaking at that. We'll be having some special music. We're instituting some special awards. A sort of lifetime achievement in Inkling studies, which had never been given before. We're not going to call it lifetime achievement, but it sounds too Hollywoodish, but something along those lines. And we're really looking forward to that. And we give student awards for student papers and things. And then Sunday we get up and have a morning prayer and communion and close with a brunch that flows directly into some roundtable discussions about usually big topics like what next, where are, what's the future of Lewis and Friends studies, Inkling studies, where are we headed, what books do we need to see, and maybe some practical advice on listening to people like you talking about how their books came into being and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a full time, and I really recommend people to come for the entirety. Some people are coming in Wednesday just so they're ready to go on Thursday.
Ah, good idea. Yes, yeah, people should come for the whole thing if their schedule does allow, and come already pre-rested because you're going to be on the go and lots of good things happening, regular hours and then after-hour opportunities as well. Well, now, you made reference already about a website. Let's go ahead and talk about the best way to learn about the colloquium, any other contact ways to sign up?
In general, one of the things obviously people should do, this is sponsored by the Center for the Study of C.S. Lewis and Friends at Taylor University. Well, we have a Facebook page, so they should find that, which is easy enough, and then like it, and then they'll be, you know, just in our loop and seeing the things that we post and things that you post when you send us something and that kind of thing. And of course, Taylor University at its own website has a space for the center. The problem with that for the conference is, you know, changing websites is a slow process sometimes, and we need some flexibility. So we have a very, very nice and flexible WordPress site. It's essentially a blog site that has full colloquium information. And I'll tell people how to find that right now, if I may.
Certainly, yeah. And I will have a link in the show notes that, as well as the Facebook page and the Taylor University link.
Okay.
So, but yeah, go ahead say it.
C.S. Lewis and Friends Colloquium. That's all one word. C.S. Lewis, there's no abbreviation, no spaces. C.S. Lewis and Friends Colloquium.org. And of course, if they just put in C.S. Lewis and Friends Colloquium or something like that into their Google search bar or whatever they're using, it's going to pull this up as well. So, and then at this site, then you click on Lewis and Friends Colloquium, and under that you have a section for conference themes, something about paper submissions, a section on keynote speakers, a section on the student writing contest, how to register, and direct link to the registration page, and a sample colloquium schedule. So it's got a lot of information, and we can get to it and change it quickly so we can add updates that if people will use that, it will really, really help them. And I think the other thing that's be important is email. And we have a new streamlined email as well, so people don't always have to be emailing me. And it's C.S. Lewis Center, one word, cslewiscenter@taylor.edu. And I think phone is hit and miss because my assistant's only in the office 3 mornings a week, and I'm running around all over campus doing my full-time job in the English department and my part-time job over here. So these are definitely the email is definitely the best way to contact us.
And again, that information will have links as well as the information like for the email, so people can look at the show notes if they want to get it that way, or they can just rewind and listen to what you were just saying. Well, now, as the director of the Center for the Study of C.S. Lewis and Friends, tell us what it offers to those who live near Taylor University and the resources visitors would especially find interesting.
Well, that's a really good question. Thank you, William. And thanks again for this entire interview, by the way. We have, of course, the central element of the center is a collection, and that collection we call the Brown Collection. And I won't go into the history of that now, but if people want to drop by, I'll be happy to tell them. We do entertain hundreds of people in the center every year, especially because we're at a university. So every homecoming, parents' weekend, things like that, we have big crowds. We also have special events, in which we not only have a lot of students that come, but people from off campus. So Devin Brown, our good friend, who was here speaking earlier in the year. Last year we did a Tolkien movie marathon, which lasted for 11 hours from basically 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. That was a lot of fun. We had a crowd of 200 for that, students mostly. We have this collection, and we got first editions of everything by C.S. Lewis and a lot of the first editions of our other authors, and then especially a tremendous collection of George MacDonald, the great 19th century writer of fantasy and fairy tales. who was a big influence on C.S. Lewis. We have manuscripts, we have letters, and we're using some of those in research. And of course, Charlie, our friend, used the manuscript of, known as the Light Manuscript, to write and wrote a book on that a couple of years ago. We have not just a collection where people can come see things, but we have a great collection of Lewis and Friends material that can be checked out. So these are not our rare first editions, but next to the center and to the Brown Collection, we have a room called the Lewis Room, and everything in that room can be checked out. And it's a tremendous resource, and people come and check things out all the time, but also it's heavily used in interlibrary loan, where people want to get a kind of obscure book on George MacDonald or Owen Barfield, and we probably have it. And so they can use it in that way. But also programming, as I said, our programming is primarily heavily student-oriented. We have a lot of different programs during the year, whether it's bringing a speaker in or having a special event like the Bilbo Baggins 111st birthday party we had this year. Had over 100 people for that. And the Narnia Christmas, Narnia-themed Christmas, always winter but never Christmas party. We had a visit from Father Christmas. And the four Pevensey children were there as well. And then every Friday at 4 p.m., and the public are welcome to these, we have what we call a Lewis tea. So every Friday is an idea I came up with last year, and everybody thought I was crazy, and I think I was. But every Friday at 4 p.m., we have a tea where we have tea and biscuits, what the Brits call cookies, mm-hmm. and sometimes other treats, Turkish delight at the proper time of year. And we have a presentation of some sort, mostly by students, whether it's about something from Narnia or something from Tolkien or Dorothy L. Sayers or whatever it might be, original creative writing. We had a poetry session a couple weeks ago. So that's become a really interesting and exciting part of what we're doing here in the center. And we do have visitors from outside come to that, and we love to have them. So that's a short version of some of the things we're doing. And of course, a big part of what we do is organize the colloquium every 2 years.
Yeah. Now, too bad you guys are in the middle of nowhere. Otherwise, people could come around more often.
Indy's a very big city and has a wonderful airport.
Yes. Well, you're easily accessible. I don't know if it was last time I interviewed you or it was the, it could have been you. But anyway, I remember joking about driving in by car, and I made sure that about an hour out, to avail myself of any restroom, because once you are trucking along, it's about maybe 45 minutes at least, if not an hour, before you hit any.
No. This was maybe 10 years ago, William. No. There are gas stations. There's a Starbucks every 20 miles. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't drink coffee, so maybe that's
right on the highway, right outside the university now. So.
Okay, so it's a little bit more convenient, so.
A little bit more. And there's, of course, a great ice cream place in town, Ivanhoe's, which is famous, in Indiana at least.
All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap up, Joe. It's been good talking with you here. We'll say our official goodbyes in a moment, but go ahead and give some closing thoughts for individuals that might help them. They're thinking about coming, they're not really sure. Why should they come to the 2018 colloquium, whose theme, again, is the faithful imagination?
Well, I think they'll have a great time. It's tremendous, nerdy fun, and I don't apologize for that. We make a big deal of that on campus. Students who love books and who love their imagination and who love fantasy and who love the kinds of things that Lewis and Tolkien and others wrote, they just gravitate here, and we think there's not just students, but other people will do the same. One thing we've mentioned, but maybe not said enough of, we don't just seek scholarly presentations. I've been very proactive about trying to get artists of all sorts involved, and we're bringing a poet in, we're bringing an actor in, he's an actor and a director, and now and a playwright. These people we love, these writers, were writers. And we sort of honor them, not just by studying their work and saying smart things about it, by also doing what they did in their spirit or inspired by them. And so we have a student writing competition that can be both creative and scholarly, but also we encourage creative work, whether that's poetry or fiction, graphic art. We have a couple of artists already, we know for sure, you know, visual artists who are going to be involved and going to be coming. And if we get enough, we'll set up a gallery showing of some sort, but we don't know how many proposals we're going to get. So I want to emphasize that as well. It's a very, very, there's a nice balance. You may remember last time the person who presented on his animated film In Process, Nadu was a nice break from the papers, but I think people really, really enjoyed that. And I wish he could come back and give us an update, but he's moved. So I'm not sure we'll be able to get him. We're going to have a really great musical group named Balrog, which is the name of a monster, of course, in Lord of the Rings. But it's some friends of mine, some very fine musicians, kind of a Celtic classical fusion. And they'll be playing for us at on Saturday at the banquet and afterwards. So there's a lot of it's fun and it's very friendly. And they're going to learn stuff too. I guess we haven't mentioned the great bookstore we always have. And also this year I'm going to be doing a rare Inklings book sale. In other words, books that we have that we're not keeping in the collection. Some of them are first editions by these writers. So some people are going to really, really enjoy that. So there's a lot going on. And as you remember from last time, it's packed full, but it's exciting the entire 3 days.
Exactly. Well, again, we encourage everyone to consider if they're listening to this in time for the 2018, if they're listening to it later, then the 2020 should be around the corner. Check out the website, search and see what's happening there. But hopefully our talk today has given you a taste of what they're like, and you'll want to come whatever time it may be, whether it be in 2018, 2020, or any two-year span after that. Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, William. As always, it's been a pleasure. And I do really appreciate your contributions to the Lewis and Friends world.
And thank you, my listener, for your interest in All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty. Be sure to check the show notes for any links mentioned during the program. The show notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the podcast is most easily found and navigated. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, highlights the most recent show on the main page and also has space dedicated to listing past shows and the notes for them. Additionally, you can find a variety of other material on Lewis at EssentialCSLewis.com, including a popular series that explores quotations attributed to him that may not be from him. When you visit my site, be sure to listen to other interviews and special podcasts on a variety of topics, mostly directly related to Lewis. And in case you didn't know, during the week, I occasionally post previously released podcasts on my iTunes feed that you can also find at the Podbean address. If you don't know how to get to the show on iTunes, then be sure to check the show notes for a direct link to that. Again, those notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you do visit me on iTunes, please consider rating my podcast as it can help others find it there. Finally, in case you haven't heard, I have a book called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters. It is available online at Amazon. Paperback is $14.99. Buying the book is a great way to help support my podcast. You can learn more about my book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Thanks again for listening to All About Jack.